Welcome to the Lifecast. We believe an extraordinary life is within everyone's reach. By interviewing leaders of all different backgrounds and having challenging open conversations, we aim to fulfill our mission and purpose of helping individuals save years of frustration and struggle, regain clarity and focus to take what was once a wish or a dream and make it their reality. There may be explicit words or conversational topics in this podcast, so if you are underage or listening with a child, please be aware of this. Lastly, please note that all the views, beliefs, and opinions are not always a representation of the hosts. Let's jump in. Welcome to this week's episode. We are sitting here with our good friend, Jeff Seneschal. He is a chiropractor who also focuses on, you know, health and nutrition, as well as a bunch of other different things. I'm doing a poor job introducing you, Jeff, so why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself. I'm going to push this mic a little bit closer to you. But
yeah, simple terms, chiropractor who uses functional medicine.
Okay. So what exactly does that mean to the people who are listening who don't know or have never experienced what I've experienced with you or my family has?
So functional medicine, we look for answers. You know, it's traditional medicine, Western medicine, there's, you know, symptom XYZ, there's medication XYZ, but people are just put on medications today and they're, you know, not looking for the culprit of the actual real problem. And functional medicine tries to address those issues. You know, why does someone have high cholesterol? Is it a genetic issue? Is it a secondary issue because of a thyroid problem? Is it there's adrenal issues going on? You know, it's addressing the real problem versus hop on this medication, you know, side effects from this, now you got this medication. And unfortunately in the United States, you know, it's a heavily driven market with the big pharma and everyone being kind of over-medicated within our country.
Right, right. So I want to ask you a couple questions. First, it has to do with what you're experiencing now, but then I really want to delve into the fact of like, how did you get started in this? So you mentioned that there's a lot of weird things going on in the health space right now, as far as the United States goes. So tell us a little bit about what are the common things that you're seeing, you know, daily as far in your office, not just you, but also your partner, Dr. Ten. So yeah, kind of give me a little bit of an overview of that.
Kind of common health issues that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, that most of your patients come in with, like if there's, are there areas that are specific?
So, you know, right now, seasonally, you know, second, third week of September, everyone starts going back to school and start seeing a little bit more of your upper respiratory infections, colds, those types of things. You know, typically late August, I'll start seeing allergy issues. Some people that if they have a late season pneumonia, upper respiratory sinus issue, sometimes the allergies, they build up a lot of histamine issues, and those things can kind of overturn into those types of infections. And then they may have like an early season type of issue with the sinus or upper respiratory thing. But right now, you know, you'll typically see around the first round of colds with a lot of patients kind of cycling through, especially with people getting back in the routine with school and that kind of thing.
About that, I think that's interesting because I was, I drove through, I had to go pick up a prescription, right? And I noticed driving through the drive-thru, they were already pushing, you know, the flu vaccine, right? Which, I mean, it's
the propaganda.
Summer didn't even end yet.
the propaganda begins.
Yeah. So, but before, you know, we dive really into the meat and potatoes of this, and, you know, I hope you're not vegan and I didn't offend you.
No.
Right. But, my question is tell me a little bit about what got you into this. Cause this is not something that the average person says, hey, I want to go be a chiropractor, but then also focus on health and wellness and how I can really transform people's lives. That's what you're in. You're in the transformation business.
Yep. So my mom's a nurse. Growing up, my childhood, every cough, sniffle, and sneeze was antibiotics in my life. Where are you going to get your calcium if you don't drink your milk? Drink your milk, ears full of mucus, infection after infection. That was my childhood growing up, was antibiotics. Thinking I wanted to go into the medical profession after high school, I was a patient transporter on the east side.
Okay.
Mount Clemens General. 4 years as a patient transporter. Got the job shadow, any and everything I was ever interested in. thought I wanted to go into medicine, so I was like, oh, this is great. And I get to see different aspects of the hospital and, see it from a real good view. I got in a rollover car accident, had some neck and back pain issues, and from there, I went to go see a chiropractor. I knew through traditional medicine it was going to be painkillers, muscle relaxers, steroids, injections, whatever. I was like, I'm not going to go in that direction. And got some chiropractic adjustments. My neck back pain went away. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. There's a whole different philosophy of healing.
How bad was the car accident?
We're being idiots, and my buddy was driving a truck, and we're in Kentucky. We took a turn that said, go around 35 around this turn, and we were going about 60, and we got pulled right in a ditch and rolled over sideways and kind of hit my head with things, and I didn't have a seatbelt on. But that car accident,
so pretty severe, actually.
Not too bad, I couldn't say, I even had a concussion. I forgot things at the time and kind of in a moment of shock, but not too bad, but enough to, have some neck and back issues with it.
Okay, and when I hear, no seatbelt, you flip the truck, and, it sounds...
Could be bad.
Yeah. Could be bad. Could have been worse.
Yeah. So that's interesting, because my wife, her first, the way she got introduced to, because she goes to a chiropractor on a regular basis as well, and how she got introduced was because of a car accident. And obviously, as a chiropractor, is it like, do you see a lot of people going down the same path you are with what you're interested in, and probably what we're going to kind of what you talked
have,
about?
A lot of people in my profession have a pretty cool story of what got them into chiropractic and just had some cool home run, and they just want to learn it and give back to others and that kind of thing. And we live in a country that feels heavily fueled right now with the opiate epidemic, and mm-hmm. pain management in our country is absolutely miserable. Yeah. So, you look at pain management issues, chiropractic should be right on the top line with, working with these pain patients and, other professions that want to not chiropractic. Look, these physical therapists are adjusting, DOs are adjusting, everyone's trying to adjust, so they're trying to mimic what we're doing, that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. It's, it works. If it didn't work, others wouldn't be trying to do what we're doing.
Yeah, so back to your story, mm-hmm. right? So you go to a chiropractor, you experience this.
Yep. So,
did your buddy do the chiropractic route too, or did he do the pain thing?
He didn't have it. He had a seatbelt on. I didn't.
That explains why.
Yeah. So he was a little bit better off than I was from that. But being on the east side, I lived in the Shelby area. A family that Dr. Tent was treating on the east side was like, the more I worked at the hospital, the more I was like, man, this is sick here. It's not health care. If I'm going to get into helping people, I want to see people get better. I don't want to see them dwindle and get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I, I was doing pre-med with my undergrad stuff, and I started changing direction. I'm like, man, I don't know, look more into this chiropractic stuff. And my ex-girlfriend, her whole family saw Dr. Tent, and they're like, man, you're going to go in this direction of chiropractic. You got to see what this guy's doing on the west side with all the nutritional stuff. And I went to one of his seminars, and he puts on a really good seminar, as you guys know.
Yeah.
Everything just clicked. Everything made so much sense. I was like, man, I got to learn what this guy's doing. I'm like, this contact reflex analysis he's using nutrition with that, the chiropractic stuff, and it just all the chiropractic and nutrition just worked so good together. And I started finding that it was Dr. Versinal that he learned from, and started learning the contact reflex analysis. I just started job shadowing every guy that he taught with that, and it was just pretty cool. Now that's 90% of what I tell my story to everyone. Today I'm going to tell you the deeper part of that.
Please
story.
Do. Please
Ooh,
do.
I like it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
So when I worked at the hospital, and seeing patients, and I was so naive. You're young, you feel like you're invincible. Mm-hmm. I think that whenever I get sick, there's going to be that one green pill. You take the green pill, it's going to fix you. Boom, you're done. I had passion. I knew I was going to want to help patients, help people, and pursue a career that was just going to help people with their health. And just, I had passion, but I didn't have purpose.
Interesting.
Came across a book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren.
Yeah.
And that book just absolutely changed my life. And was baptized back in March 31st, 02. It was my old email address. I remember to a T on Easter.
That's awesome.
And my journey with Christ just began, and it was absolutely cool. And doors just opened up in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the body's the temple of God. You're born with this greatest gift is your body. And
mm-hmm.
it does amazing things. You give it the right stuff, chiropractic stuff, nutritional stuff. Your body can do amazing things. And doors open in my life. To this day, I can't explain how these doors open up in my life. And I guarantee you, if I could explain how these doors open up in my life once I became a believer, I could turn anyone into a believer.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was down in college, down in Georgia, Dr. Tent had a, and he doesn't even know this story all the way just yet because I haven't told him this.
Well, we appreciate you sharing it here.
I didn't know how I was going to get in his office. My plan A was, I got to work with this guy. I got to learn how he's using all this stuff. And he already had an associate working with him. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get in this office. He already has someone with him and everything. And, you know, God opened doors in my life. And where I was, like, unsure of going in that direction, I just told my story of how I've been following him all throughout the years and job shadowing him on my breaks and that kind of stuff from grad school down in Georgia. And I look back now, I want to work so bad in his office. I had such vivid dreams of working in his office,
yeah,
and the relationship that we have today and throwing things back and forth on each other, that I'm like, my gosh, I look back, I'm like, that was like a dream planted in my head from God that this is it. Go
yeah.
forward. Keep going forward.
Can you
awesome.
Give some people perspective? I mean, I personally think that you and Tent are world class in what you do. You have people from all around the world,
mm-hmm.
you know, via Skype appointments and all these different things. And this is a gem that we have here in Michigan, and not a lot of people understand really what's going on there. Can
uh-huh.
you give a little bit of background of, you know, how you guys are, what's really special about, first off, Tent, but then your office, so
yep.
that people really get an understanding, because most people haven't probably heard of, you know, Diverse Health Services and you guys individually, but it's kind of like this cult following that you,
uh-huh.
if you come across it, like, the you know, your ex-girlfriend's family, boom, you get introduced
yep.
to it, and lives change.
Yep. You know, when we started putting our lectures on YouTube, we opened up a door that just we didn't see coming. We had people that would reach out from us from different states. Hey, what do you do? Or who in my state would you recommend me to that does what you guys do? And we try to make good referrals and look at the supplement stuff that they're on. We're like, we don't even know what they're trying to do with you. Dr. Tent and I see so much of the same stuff. I told Tent, I'm like, you know what? Let's start Skyping with patients. We could probably fix up half these patients better than some of these other guys are doing because we see so much of the same stuff. And we had the stuff on YouTube. We originally put our lectures on YouTube for just for the benefit of our patients, for the easier access and whatnot. But once we put them on YouTube, man, they just went crazy worldwide. And Dr. Tent's autoimmune lecture just went viral and stuff. And from there, people are just reaching out their office. And it's awesome looking back now. It's like, man, like, now we're Skyping with people in, out of the state, and out of the country. It's
That's
like,
cool.
man, people are just absolutely reaching out to our office, and it's cool.
When you were first getting started, and you have this, you started, you know, you read the book, you know, and then you have this idea planted in your mind of, I want to work with Tent, and you
mm-hmm.
have kind of already kind of been following him on your own. Why him?
Yeah, great question. So when I job shadowed all these guys who did contact reflux analysis, and I went to all these offices, and you know, anyone that Dr. Versen all trained, watching videos and that, he had it both. There are some guys that could adjust good but sucked at the nutrition. There's guys that were good at the nutrition
mm-hmm.
and sucked at the adjusting thing. He had both of them. He had both the chiropractic and the adjustment stuff together. And just the way he talked at his lectures and explained things, I'm like, my gosh, I'm like, he worked at the – I felt like he worked with me at the hospital, seeing the things that I saw behind closed doors. And, I mean, I've spent 4 years as a patient transporter, and the more I worked at the hospital, I was like, man, just the more things I saw there, it's just like, I don't want to be here. I'm like, this isn't my field, man.
Mm-hmm. Would you, if you were to, I want people to understand, I mean, you've been working with Tent for how long now?
It'll be 10 years in March.
So, I mean, it takes 10 years, they say, to master something, right? Mm-hmm. You want to get those 10,000 hours, and I'm sure you got mm-hmm. those in way before. But I want people to really appreciate you for who you are and also the mentorship you've had, because I mean, I brought my family to DHS, mm-hmm. and I've, you know, brought my son to you, and your wife, who's also a chiropractor, yep. sees, you know, my wife and daughter. But I want people to really get an understanding. If we were to rank Tent in the world, right, I personally think that he's in the top 1%. Mm-hmm. There's really nobody doing what he's doing. And the people that have done what he's done, you know, there's a lot of weird things going on with these guys who are pushing new age thinking in with chiropractic, right? Yep. Just some odd things. Yep. But I would say that he's in the top 1%. And I want your take on it, because I want people to really appreciate you for the mentorship you've received, how you've implemented that into your own practice. Yep. Because coming up next, we're really going to dive into really areas of expertise for mm-hmm. you.
You know, I think what really separates us from everyone else is clinical practice. You know, he's got 30 X amount of years under his belt. I got 10. And, you know, even with me beginning when I was in there the first 2 years, I ran and read through every single chart he was treating. I saw every angle he was taking. I understood his thought line. I see what, you know, when he's doing the muscle testing, which directions he would go. But, you know, you see some of these internet doctors, and I'm not going to knock them and whatnot, but some of them are more marketeers than anything, you know. Throw some clinical cases, Tent and I are just going to shred everyone else apart on that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's been a unique and fun journey all at the same time. You know, it's very rewarding helping people, and, you know, people who just come in the distance for, you know, their health and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So let's set the stage here real quick. Sorry that I'm not letting you ask a bunch of questions, Al.
Oh, hey, when I'm ready, I'll start firing. I'm just listening right now.
So I want to catch the listener's attention, right? So mm-hmm. tell us about some of the most insane turnarounds you've had, you know, as far as you independently and then the practice in general. Like, how have you guys been able to impact people's lives in ways that, you know, individuals didn't even think were possible or that would sound kind of nuts, because mm-hmm. you guys have done some crazy things.
We have, and some of those stories cycle around, and then, you know, just as big practice builders of people referring people in. I'd probably say in the last year or two, I had a pretty cool colorectal cancer person that turned a corner. She lives in Brighton, 85 years old, and diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. They took out 30 lymph nodes. They took out a foot of her colon. And they're like, she started chemo treatment.
Wow.
After 2 weeks, couldn't tolerate it whatsoever. She's like, oh, forget it. I can't do it. She came to the office and she's like, I just want nutritional support. All I want is nutritional support. I'm 85 years old. If I live, I live. I don't. So I put her on a nutritional protocol, supplements, and her family lives down in Houston. She was feeling great. Energy's doing great. Her husband's like, I don't know what you've done with my wife, but she hasn't had an energy like this since, you know, her mid-40s and that kind of stuff. He's like, we're going to go down to Houston. My kids are there. We're going to just maybe just get a quick follow-up, maybe from the MD Anderson Cancer Clinic, just to see, you know, what's going on, and maybe rule out some other things, if we may do some other things as well. And he called me last year around Christmas, and he just had tears in his eyes. He's like, they can't find cancer in her. Like, I don't know what you do. Yeah. My wife, 85 years old, you know, X amount of lymph nodes found cancer, and they only took a certain amount out with the, you know, surgery. They can't find a trace of cancer in her, period.
Yeah.
What
was cool?
What would be a nutritional protocol? Like, what
I
is that?
I put her on a 90. I'll either go with a ketogenic diet with certain cancers, or I'm going to put someone on a 90% plant based diet, 10% meat. If it's 10% meat, chicken, fish, turkey. And, you know, that's a misconception, too. A lot of people think, oh, yeah, Dr. Tent and Dr. Jeff treat cancer. No, we don't treat cancer. We'll give a nutritional protocol for patients. People hit this fork in the road of, you know, I got this lump, I get a biopsy, it's cancerous. Should I go traditional medicine? So should I not? My mom, she was a nurse at Beaumont forever, 20 years in the oncology department. She's told me numerous times, I'll never do chemo and radiation if I get cancer. Working with patients, we have killed a lot more people than we've ever saved doing chemo and radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Chemo is nothing more than fighting fire with fire. Hope we put out the fire before we kill the patient.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
So, wow. It's interesting. I've learned from a lot of doctors that I know personally, there's two things that they would never do. Number one, a common thing is that they're not fans of the flu vaccine. And number two mm-hmm. is that they're not fans of anything that has to do with chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And they just stay away from it. They keep their families away from it. So, but basically, just to kind of highlight what you were saying, first off, you're treating people in a couple of different fashions, right? So chiropractic adjustments,
yep.
right?
Yep.
A lot of people are out of alignment.
Yeah, so some people come for chiropractic, some will come just for the nutritional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got a combo that will come for both.
Right, and then when you talk about your protocols, right, there's two parts of that. The first is the diet, what people should be
yep.
eating on a daily basis or what they
yep.
should not. And then also you've got vitamins and supplements that you recommend.
Yep.
Right, okay, so that's a cancer case, right?
Mm-hmm.
What, let's say something, anything crazy with, you know, children or behavioral issues or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably one of my other biggest hit home runs with the child. Everyone's got this loose label, you know, diagnosis of ADD, ADHD, autism spectrum disorders. I look at a lot of heavy metal issues with these kids. You know,
what do you mean by that?
Aluminum, lead, mercury, some of the environmental things, sometimes vaccines issues could create problems as far as metal toxicity that traditional doctors and pediatricians aren't looking at, and especially high levels of aluminum may mimic some of these ADD, ADHD mm. type of symptoms with patients.
Interesting. So this home run,
he was on Singulair for his asthma. So I got his asthma under control. He had high amounts of aluminum. So he's doing a chelation protocol to pull the aluminum out. We got his asthma under control to get him off the Singulair. The Singulair really is what really made his moods go south as well. But some of these medications that they're putting on patients, the Adderall, Ritalin, these are stimulants. And
mm-hmm.
some of these stimulants put these kids in fight mode. It curbs their appetite, puts them in fight mode, and they don't sleep at night. And they're even 10 times more of a train wreck, unfortunately.
And then drains their adrenals and stuff like
yep.
that.
I had a teacher who I just saw yesterday, second grade teacher, 30 years in the profession. It's her last year. She goes, this year's word is anxiety. She's like, I have 6 children of 25 in my classroom on anti-anxiety medications.
Wow.
Second grade.
Wow.
You're kidding me.
No.
Wow.
Just on the like Adderall Ritalin thing,
mm-hmm.
when I was a kid, I was on that. I had ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so from first grade, I started taking it. Second grade, I'd have to go down at lunch. I'd take one in the morning at my house, and then I'd take one down at lunch in the principal's office.
Yep.
When I was in, like, as soon as I started thinking for myself and I was old enough,
mm-hmm.
I told my mom, I'm like, Mom, I don't like this stuff. I take it and it doesn't let me be who I am. I'm super
yep.
calm. I'm super focused. And that's not really, I'm not like this calm person who doesn't talk. And then next thing you know, when I came out of it, I would get in a fight. It would be like everything came out at once and I was in the worst mental status. And it was mm-hmm. amazing. And then I said, I don't want to take it anymore. It doesn't let me be
yep.
who I am. And as soon as I took it off, it was like, boom, everything clicked.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, okay, I could still do my homework, but it wasn't these highs and lows.
And
so
a lot of those highs and lows with people, just not only from that, but most of these kids I'm working with, children I'm working with, you know, it's blood sugar handling issues.
Mm. Mm.
80% of them, I'm just protein shakes, B vitamins, essential fatty acids. I'll level off 80% of them just doing something that simple.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because I originally came to Tent, I think it was
yeah,
2 years ago.
Story.
Yeah, for the Adderall.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, for me, it got to the point, like, I mean, I was taking 90 milligrams a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like crazy amounts. Now, I didn't have ADD, right? I just had a friend who was a doctor who just, you know, if I wanted something, I could get it.
Yep.
And I built businesses on it, man. Like I was very productive. It was a cool tool, right? The problem was, is when you get to the point where you're taking 90 milligrams of it and you have to have it, and you realize I'm not going to be dependent on it, right? So for me, you know, I'd chewed tobacco before, and for me it was one of those things like I was stuck, like I felt like I needed it, and I don't ever want to feel like that. I always want to be in control. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was one of those things, I'm going to get off this, figure it out. But in the past, when I tried to get off, I had such adrenal fatigue that I would want to sleep for like 2-3 weeks at a time. I'd eat everything and I'd balloon like, you know, 40 pounds. So I was like, hey, I want to do this, but I want to do it right. So I went to go see Tent, and I'm there. I was on like $500 a month worth of supplements. So it costs some money.
Yep.
But I wasn't tired. I didn't have these, you know, because when you get off, it's like this negative
big crash.
A big crash, but also an emotional like dip. Like you're totally rude, mean to people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I didn't want that. And so I got off and it was great, right? And you just keep sustaining that thereafter. I don't know. It was a really great experience for me. And then also, like, my mother, she was told that she needed a hysterectomy, right? And that she had precancerous cells. And, you know, she goes and sees you guys. And basically, within 3 months, the doctor's like, we can't see anything. You don't need this procedure anymore. Like, everything changes. And it was a combo of diet, you know, mixed with supplements. But then what I thought was interesting is you're talking about blood sugar issues based on a lot of these salt, sugar, fat combos that are out in the world today, because every food manufacturer wants everything to taste great. They don't care what it's like, right? So they load it with a lot of salt, sugar, fat, or a combo of everything. And now this is producing crazy amounts of diabetes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my mother was also told that she could potentially be pre-diabetic, right? So this was also before she came to see you. So you guys put on something called glucose sugar balance, right? Which now very much from, I even took it after, you know, the fact is, was a, not only seems to curb the appetite, but sustains your blood sugar levels. So you don't have these peaks and valleys in a way that you're now craving food when you really shouldn't be craving food because your biological, you know, I don't know, eating clock is out of whack, I guess. It's the easiest way to explain it, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, the glucose sugar balance has the chromium, vanadium, cinnamon component to it. It works very well with berberine. Berberine's like natural metformin. I've brought some cool numbers down, gotten people off.
What's berberine?
Berberine's just an herb that works with higher lipid levels like cholesterol, triglycerides, has anti-cancer components to it. Mimics, you know, metformin with, as far as dropping blood sugar levels down, real good herb.
Okay. It's interesting.
So in regard to like, cause everybody obviously in all of mankind, I believe is like the kids, right? Everybody wants to fix their kids. They want to do what's right. For you, what have been some of the eye-opening experiences to where you've said, hey, maybe this traditional path isn't the right path, and I look over here, and how did you, was it through Dr. Ken, obviously, who exposed you to that, or some of your own things, like where?
Bit of both, I'd say, yeah, absolutely, bit of both. You know, I think really stepping into practice the first 3 years and just seeing these the health issues and problems that we're having with these kids, and just the rate of autism going like from 1 to 10,000, the 1 in a 100 to 1 in 50, and these children today are chronically sick, and it's like, this isn't normal. And yet, you know, the pediatrician's like, oh yeah, no, this is normal. This is today's new normal. I'm like, no, this is not normal. And there's, unfortunately, there's not real doctoring going on. This kind of goes back to the functional medicine stuff. I want to know what's going on. I want to get answers for these kids. And I'm going to fight hard for these kids today because, you know, they're not getting answers. And whether it's mood issues, ADD, ADHD, neurological problems, sensory integration issues, these kids are just kind of pushed along the path. The pediatrician tells them, go to your psychologist, go to your counselor, hop on medications, and this is today's new normal. I'm like, no, this is not normal. And I'm the one who's digging and searching for answers for these children.
So what do you think are some of the, what are the, some of the answers you're finding, and then how are you giving solutions to it, you know? And what, I guess, what are the big ones that you're finding, and how are you addressing it?
You know, we live in a toxic world. There's I showed this one slide at my lecture. I was trying to quote, I forget who it was by, but the babies just within the fetus are exposed to 270 different chemicals before they're even born.
You're kidding me.
From pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, plastics, environmental stuff. So, you know, when you look at, like, you know, the hot topics with autism and, you know, yeah, this is, there's issues with the vaccines. And vaccines, yes, can trigger certain autistic behavior. But there's a lot of environmental things that could trigger these things as well. And these children are being exposed to these factors. It's a big issue. You know, a lot of these things have neurological components, the heavy metals and that kind of stuff. And, you know, plastic's a huge problem today. All this BPA issues affecting everyone on some type of age range.
Mm-hmm.
All this plastic today in older adults, it's the guys it's going to be prostate cancer, and girls it's going to be breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Our generation of individuals, I'm seeing low sperm count with guys. Infertility's a big problem I'm seeing in the office. I'm like,
yeah,
man, I've never seen this crap before.
I want to bring something up. Right. I mean, I'm still using a regular doctor for, because you guys aren't really an insurance based place, right? So, you guys use a lot of blood testing.
Yep.
For things, so I'm getting my blood tested at a doctor's office, and they bring these results to you guys. And I would say that I'm a relatively, I wouldn't say I'm an owl, right? Like, you guys are like, I wouldn't say extremists, but you guys are like very, very focused on it. Right. And you know,
Tatiana goes, we're not extremists. And that's because Tatiana pretty much is my nutritionist.
Yeah. So for me, it's like, I try to do the best that I can. Right. I exercise, I eat relatively healthy, but I got young kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I'm not going to get fast food all the time. I'm trying to be conscientious about the deodorant I wear, what I brush my teeth with.
You
right.
Do the best you can.
Yeah.
You know.
And I went to the doctor about a month ago, and I messaged you online.
Uh-huh.
I was like, hey, this is where my testosterone's at, right? And it was was in the 300s. I had testosterone levels of an 85-year-old man.
I just did a male lecture last May, and I talked about the four killers of the guys.
Yeah.
Number one is stress. Stress is killing these guys. If guys are stressed out, cortisol goes up. Testosterone goes down. So,
and then
so
they also get fat at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's in that inverse relationship, that cortisol goes up, testosterone goes down. The plastics, number two, exogenous estrogens, all that plastics feminizing the guys today. So you could even look at gender bending issues of young boys, early breast development with younger girls with all this plastic stuff. But it's feminizing the guys. So plastics killing the guys as well. And I'm going to say stat medications, all these guys on statin, cholesterol-lowering medications, if you lower your cholesterol, you're going to lower your testosterone because cholesterol is a building block for testosterone.
Wow.
Mm.
The sneaky thing is passive transfer. Passive transfer, if a guy is sleeping with his spouse that's using some type of hormone replacement therapy, between sweat, skin-to-skin contact, and being in the same bed, passively transfer hormones are going right to the guy from that as well.
Interesting. That's so is that if like thing. If your wife's on birth control kind of thing? You talk
so much with the birth control is more of like your traditional hormone replacement therapy, pills and topical creams.
Yeah, because I know that I've had friends who, you know, are actually you might know one of them that come to your office. He, you know, had taken a lot of steroids back in the day, and his whole endocrine system basically shut down on him. And, you know, he tried the testosterone gel. And one of the things is you should never, right, like cuddle with that area, like touching the other person because of the transfer.
Yeah.
So, it's very interesting. So there's a lot of things impacting us, right? And it can get very overwhelming.
Yeah.
Right. We got that, you know, just children, right? All that stuff. You know, we've got our what we're eating. What we're consuming, as far as like products that we're purchasing. I mean, everything's basically plastic.
You know, and the problem too, especially going back to the eating thing, because I'll battle and argue with dietitians, and I'll these gym rat guys that want to say you could eat everything through food. You could all get all your vitamins and minerals through your food. Taking supplements like you guys are recommending is absolute garbage. 85% of our American soil is depleted of minerals.
Yes.
The minerals aren't in the soil. It's not in the food. It's not in us. Yep. Very evident when you look at these athletes today. We're in week 3 of National Football League right now. Every injury, ripped tear, pull, brokenness, out for the rest of the season. Our athletes are fragile. Everyone's fragile today because they're so undernourished. You don't want to act like they get everything through their food. You can't. It's impossible today.
And, you know, that's a great point. And I wanted to ask you about the environmental aspects that you were talking about, like specifics.
But maybe one you should give him a background as far as your passion about not only health but also the environment.
I'll do that. The one thing I was going to tell you, we have some friends who are organic farmers, right, not too far here in Brighton off D19.
Awesome.
And he was telling us that they bought, like, how much? 300 acres, okay? And they're going hard at the organic style. They had a family member basically go through the medicine field of like, hey, they're going to die. They're falling off. And then they just, hey, we got to try something else. Went the holistic route. And she's miraculous story, miracle story. So they see it firsthand, inspires him. He's a developer.
Yep.
They go get this farm. They start doing organic farming. Well, they had all the soil tested. And he said they had to spend around $100,000 of putting minerals into the soil just to get it to the point of like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
$100,000 exactly. Into the soil just to make it like
One understands what you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Nobody understands that. I recommend all diets. I like keto. I like paleo. I've got no problem recommending plant-based, vegan for certain patients. I'll gauge things on their gut, how well their digestive tract is to what I'm going to recommend. But it doesn't matter what diet you're doing. If we're eating off dead soil, the food's dead.
It's interesting. But you know, one of the things that I learned from you guys that's very mind-boggling and most people don't get either is when you're talking about minerals, right, that's a very abstract concept for people. But, you know, you look at – I know you guys have treated people with bad osteoporosis, right, and shoulders, like, rolled over forward, all this stuff. And a lot of this has to do with that they're not getting, you know, the minerals that they need to build their bones up strong.
Absolutely.
Right? So when you guys are, you know, recommending supplements, if you want, you know, strong bones, you're going to basically get supplements that are bones.
Exactly.
You're, right?
You got your dog walk around. What's your dog's name?
Jackson.
Jackson. So, you know, a dog chews a bone. He gets nutrients from those bones. One of the supplements we recommend with patients is BIOS. BIOS is raw glandular bone. Doing simple bone broth soup. Simple things to get those nutrients. Unfortunately, today, some of this osteoporosis is even medical induced. A lot of people have dead stomachs, and you know, they get these acid reflux issues.
Yeah,
and they're put on Nexium, Prilosec, Tums, Tagamet, Protonix, and it blocks your stomach from absorbing minerals being on that medication, and it'll accelerate them into osteoporosis. Take some women who've had a hysterectomy, and on those, my gosh, your bones are going to diminish twice as fast.
Yeah, Tent talks about how if you've had a hysterectomy, right, a lot of the times you can actually see a woman's body change, right? Like, you know, women's, you know, typically they're like an hourglass shape, but they turn into stockier, like upside down Christmas trees, more like a guy, because the hormones have switched so predominantly in the body that biochemistry changes and the bone structure starts to change.
Yep.
What's your, you know, so we're talking about these hormones and all these things and the minerals, and this kind of leads to gut health.
Yep.
Right. So I know that you're very passionate about gut health.
Yep.
It's very important. You want to kind of dive into that and kind of just go on a little rant on it? Because I think it's a very, everybody's heard about gut health, right? You think about, okay, I got to do like reset my gut. I got to maybe do like a juice cleanse, or I got to do this kind of cleanse, and, or, you know, get a colonic done. And it's, people are like, they're overwhelmed, and it seems scary to a lot of people too.
So, you know, I treat a lot of, you know, advanced health conditions, and a lot of times I notice a lot of them have gut issues, and until you address someone's actual gut problems, they normally won't conquer what they're trying to conquer as far as the health issue goes.
What kind of gut issues are we talking, Jeff?
Well, you'll see your IBS, your irritable bowel diseases like Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, you know, this whole gluten intolerant stuff's big. You know, you get your leaky gut-based problems. Just got different type of colitis issues where people are, you know, got blood in their stool type of thing. Gallbladders are really common in our country to act up because of the oils that are in our food tend to stir up the gallbladder. So everyone who has this gas, bloating, indigestion, going between loose and tight stools, burping, belching, gurgling the stomach, a lot of this stuff's the gallbladder that's acting up, and they got what I would classify as a subclinical gallbladder. So they go to the hospital and they get it checked out. Most of the time it'll show it's fine, but treat the gallbladder and all the symptoms go away. And the muscle testing helps us kind of pinpoint that. But the gut's everything. Your stomach's your number one line of defense for your GI tract. 80% of your immunity is through your gut. So if you don't address that gut, you won't conquer those. That you're a lot of things as far as absorbing your minerals, your B12, breaking down your proteins, and the immunity. And a lot of people, they're on antacid medications, which just kills their stomach. And then you go to some of these other health food stores and they're pushing drink alkaline water, alkalize the liver, and it's just kills the whole entire gut because you're alkalizing your whole GI tract going in that direction. So a lot of misinformation with that. You look at the reflux issues, and one of the more common things that we see in the office is acid reflux, digestive problems with that. People aren't digesting their food because they don't have enough of their own good acid. Carbohydrates ferment, proteins putrefy, those things come up and give people acid reflux, and they're taking meds that just, it's a short-term answer, but not a long-term solution. Nexium, Prilosec, Tums, Tagamet, Protonix kills their stomach because it just neutralizes all acids. They need more acid. Apple cider vinegar, hydrochloric acid pills are the cofactors to help produce stomach acid, like zinc, your thiamine, chlorine from salt, and people are lacking these things, and just people have dead guts today.
So, and you kind of said it there, but for the simpletons like myself, because I'm lucky and kind of to give you a background, Tatiana, she's a holistic health coach. And you guys were chatting a little bit before we got started, and she's in the studio with us, obviously. When Phil told her who we were interviewing, she's like, I gotta hear this guy. So, but on my thing, what it was, is we watched a documentary like, 5 years ago? Called Racing Extinction.
Okay.
And I got a big heart for animals.
Yep.
I'm a big environmentalist, you know. And she has the big heart for the nutrition, the health. So we've both gone down different paths, but that are very close connected.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And so we started our own nonprofit, which is called WITS. And we've gone through this whole transformation of our life, man, in the last four years. And so it's really, I know a little bit because I hear her and she feeds into you. But I don't know the deal. So for all that stuff you were talking about, you threw a couple out at the end. What's a solution if somebody, and you can't generalize, but like, what are some things people can start doing? Obviously getting educated through people like you, but if they have any of those issues, is there some like immediate steps people can take to help their cause?
Yeah, it's just as far as digestive stuff goes.
Yeah.
I got a gut lecture coming up next week, and it'll be posted on YouTube. YouTube is a great learning channel. There's a lot of other holistic doctors that talk a bunch about the gut stuff and leaky gut based things or stomach health, but I always like to start with like a simple basic apple cider vinegar test. If someone's got acid reflux stuff going on, if they need more acid, the apple cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons with 5 ounces of water, sipping on that after they're getting reflux. If it helps the reflux, they need more acid to help them digest their foods. If they do the apple cider vinegar, which is a weaker acid, and it hurts their stomach, it makes the reflux worse, then it tells us, hey, maybe you got something else going on like gastritis or an ulcer, and something that's going to like create that inflammation in the stomach or that ulcer. A lot of people with too much stress could get an ulcer in their stomach. See a lot of people, H. pylori bacteria could create issues in gastritis and ulcers, but a lot of people today with our crappy pain management that we're talking about earlier are on NSAIDs doing ibuprofen, Motrin, Advil, and even taking Tylenol stuff that just kill the stomach lining, and they create this gastritis issue just from that alone. And then also people who smoke are more prone to some of the gastritis ulcer stuff as well. But the vinegar stuff's an easy way to kind of help indicate which direction you'll go. And then the apple cider vinegar isn't helping. Aloe vera juice is the opposite, which will kind of coat and heal it. But just working with someone that, kind of could help guide them through, because some of these stomachs that can be very challenging.
Yeah.
I've got a couple questions. First is, okay, so like, if I get a headache, yep. right? What, like, I'll get like a random headache. I think a lot of it has to do with looking at a phone, like the bottom of my yep. neck or something like that. And maybe it's stress induced. But, you know, I'm not a fan of taking like an Advil or something, but sometimes that seems to be the only thing that's there. Mm-hmm. So what would you recommend instead of taking something like that?
If it's once in a while and you're doing Advil, it's not a big deal. But obviously, you know, you want to get to, you know, functional medicine, any type of alternative medicine. You want to find the culprit. You want to find the problem. What's causing the headache? Location tends to be key with headaches with a lot of people. So if you're getting pain behind your neck,
always base of the
yeah, that's going to be your atlas or occiput. That's kind of out. And that's a cervicogenic headache where it's more of a chiropractic adjustment to kind of help relieve that subluxation and get that nerve flow going better because it's a stress response. So your vertebrae's out of place, nerves are irritated, pinched up. Your muscles will tighten up, and it's that pain that you're getting from your muscles kind of tighten up and coming around with your neck. Obviously, with that's going to be more of an adjustment one. Some people will get sinus-based headaches and that kind of stuff, the sinus pressure. Treating your immune system and knowing your immune system. You know, people are prone to the earache, strep throat, like I was growing up. Stay away from the dairy. Stay away from the milk and ice cream stuff. If you're a viral patient, stay away from the foods that are high in arginine. The arginine will irritate people. There's people that, you know, have a glass of beer or wine and they start getting more nasally or more sinus headache with that. That's a fungal infection that's stuck in their sinuses from something like that.
Interesting. There's
people that will get viral headaches and their whole head feels like it's in a vice grip and they can't get out. Then that's where we're going to do more supplementation, buckwheat pills or something else with an antiviral supplement protocol to address those headaches. Mm-hmm. Some women will get headaches around their period and that's a pituitary gland type of headache. And we'll treat the pituitary gland. So it's really location.
Interesting.
Of the headaches with that.
So
that's awesome. Just for the record, just rattle that off. That's impressive, man. Because that's good stuff, man.
It is.
There's people out there who haven't thought about, hey, maybe there's a holistic way that can be a more natural way to do this and do the actual core, right?
Like and it's just saying. Yeah, exactly. It's just opening their minds to that because so many people today and. Gosh, it's when I worked at the hospital, like some of these the patients, some of these nurses and some of these healthcare workers within the hospital are sicker than the patients.
Yeah.
And every little ache that they have, they're running for the Tylenol, running for the Advil and stuff. I'm like, my gosh, I'm like, this isn't normal. I'm like, don't you want to know what's going on, why it's going on, that kind of stuff. And these people that deal with these daily headaches, they're tearing, you know, if they're doing Tylenol, they're killing their liver. They're blocking their liver pathway. I've seen people destroy their kidneys. Your kidney function's all crapped up because they lived on NSAIDs daily, and it just destroys their kidneys.
What about essential oils? And Tatiana's over here, like
they're great.
What about essential
oils? Absolutely, because
you know that's a big part in our household. Yeah. I get a headache, she's coming out like the witch
doctor.
There
you go.
Bam, bam.
This is simple stuff to go. They work great. I got my two children who are three and a half and one and a half, and we use essential oils, diffuse them all the time. Absolute great. Oils to work with and simple stuff, and they do wonders in that. And you know, people so just underestimate the power of chiropractic and nutrition with such simple stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I'm 36 years old. I haven't had an antibiotic in my life since my teenage years, getting rid of the milk and ice cream and getting off the train of, you know, cough, sniffle, and sneeze, antibiotic,
right?
Ditch the dairy, these mucus stuff went away. Haven't had a any antibiotics. I haven't had an NSAID for a headache since the fun college days down in Georgia and hangover type stuff. You know, it's this stuff works. I haven't had one sick day in my entire career at DHS. This stuff works.
What about like deodorants that people use and stuff like that?
I'm so glad you brought that up. Our generation of individuals who are losing their brain at a quick rate, and it's going to be the crappy short-term memory, is using the antiperspirant. You're putting pure aluminum right into you.
Mm-hmm.
I will look at hair analysis. I'll look at blood analysis. I'll do provoked urine testing, but most of the time I'll find it on a hair analysis with high aluminum content. And that's one of the first things I want to ask a lot of the guys is, are you using the antiperspirant?
Because
that's gonna
just going in.
Exactly. And in young kids, this is the ADD, ADHD type stuff with aluminum, our generation, you know, it's going to be short-term memory issues. Mm-hmm. In older adults, this is going to be Alzheimer-like symptoms with patients. Oh, baby,
yeah. Yeah, I've heard that a lot of there was this new documentary that just came out on Netflix about basically medical devices that are leaching. You know, they're like metal-based. Uh-huh. And they're leaching different things into the body, causing Alzheimer and dementia-like yeah. symptoms. But it's just toxicity of these metals. And then they get it removed. They start stripping these metals out of their body, and life starts to change dramatically.
Yeah.
Next question I have for you is, what about toothpaste and fluoride and your opinion on that?
I don't do fluoride. My kids don't do fluoride. Fluoride is a halogen, like bromine. Bromide or chlorine, that's going to push iodine out of the body. Talk about 85% of our soil is depleted of minerals as it is. Iodine, selenium, lithium, these are all big minerals that are vital and missing. And a lot of iodine deficiency within the patients that we see, so many issues with women and people and thyroid issues because of the lack of iodine. Cystic ovaries, cystic breasts, all these little things, just lack of iodine in people. Are eating soil and food that just doesn't, or not eating soil, but eating the food that mm-hmm. doesn't have the iodine in it, and using these things like the fluoride, chlorine, bromide that are already pushing this crap out, mm-hmm. if they even have any of it in them.
What about, I know that we're in a generation where we care a lot about what people think of us.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of women tend to, you know, they want to go for breast implants, or they want to, you know, a lot of people in general want to get like veneers put on. Right, because it looks nicer. Can you kind of touch on both of those and what, you know, what your opinion is on those? And because we are in a very weird society, you know, superficial society.
Absolutely, unfortunately. I've had four patients in the last 2 years take out their breast implants because of toxicity issues and problems that they were actually having from that. That was kind of classified by their doctors as fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome. This toxicity buildup. There's a good women's Facebook group, Nicole at Breast Health Healing or something like that. If you go in a search bar, she's got a great group, and a lot of the women just share their stories. And you know, they actually had on the news today, I was just glimpsing through, not that I watched too much, but Fox too, and they're talking about plastic surgeon guys. Just it's like, yeah, I've been the last 2 years I've been taking out more breast implants than what I've been putting in with women. And, yeah, a lot of leaking issues, anything foreign in the body, you're eventually going to have some problems with it in the long run.
Okay. And then what about, like, capping your teeth and, you know, putting veneers on or crowns and all
you
that
know,
other stuff?
The two most hidden infections I see in the office, toenails and teeth.
Wow.
And some people got teeth issues going on. And obviously, your lymph nodes under your neck are going to get affected first. Then they'll go to your armpit. Then that armpit may shoot pain across your chest. I've treated patients, headaches, fatigue, body aches, chest pain, all from a subclinical staph infection just from their tooth. So caps, crowns, all that stuff, root canals, just kind of embed and keep an infection in your mouth. Dr. Tent, you know, he's got his story with his teeth, just unbelievable what he went through with his. But you yank that tooth out, that infection and abscess will drain. All that other stuff is just embedding that infection in people. And these people are just walking around just with this low-grade infection all the time. And so many people, you know, getting in the, you know, what, a lot of what I'll see is, I'm tired. What can I do? I got fatigue. A lot of people that have low-grade infections from Epstein-Barr issues that will peak a second, third time, staph infections, the teeth, toenails, yeast infections, the brain fog, the bloating, the, you know, just lack of energy from that. Then you get in your, you know, your nutritional deficiencies and your thyroid problems, your adrenal stuff, and the lack of B vitamins and energy and that kind of thing. So it's amazing. It's just functional medicine. We're trying to pinpoint what it is. It's not that, you know, traditional medicine, you have this problem, 10 patients come in with an energy issue, and they, you know, unfortunately, in our country right now, Adderall and all this stuff's getting abused. People are going to their doctors, I have no energy. They're looking at a basic blood panel, and like, oh, I don't know what to tell you. Everything on your panel is normal, so maybe we'll hand you some Adderall. This is today's new speed is Adderall, and that's the direction that they're going in. these college kids as well. And, you know, it's the women, unfortunately, curbs their appetite. They could think and keeps them skinny, and they love this stuff and don't want to come off of it because of that. But I could have 10 patients that have energy issues. I'm going to have them all on different protocols because I'm going to muscle test them. I'm going to look at lab work. I'm going to look at their cortisol stuff on a saliva panel for adrenals. I'm going to look at their thyroid panel, and I'm going to piece it all together based on their history, muscle testing, and lab work. So it's just putting it all together and finding the answer, not just take this, here you go, have a nice day. And I can't tell you how often I hear in the office from patients, I went to my doctor for this problem. He ran blood work, said everything's normal. So he says, I've got depression or anxiety. It's in my head. He recommends me to go on this medication. I hear this on a regular basis.
Yeah. So, I hate asking this type of question, because for what you just said, like, you have a process.
Yep.
And you're going to get to the core, and then you're going to have specific solutions that are unique for that person.
Yep.
And I can respect that, because it's the same thing of what we do here in this office is for financial planning. Everybody's got a different financial plan, you know?
Yeah.
Is there any general solves that you can give for somebody, like with these teeth things or with any of these issues? Like, are there any, like, hey, like, I know Tatiana, we do a lot of, she does a lot of oil pulling.
Yep, that's great.
But what are some, are there any good things people can do for the teeth element?
Yeah, you know, it's if it's a weak tooth, we're going to use things like Biodent to strengthen the tooth, calcifood powder that's got raw glandular bone in that as well. If it's a gum issue, grapefruit seed extract on a toothbrush works great for the gums. If it's a gingivitis thing or receding gums, we got standard process supplements to kind of help with certain things with that as well. A lot of holistic dentists that are kind of big into a lot of the supplements that we use as mm-hmm. well.
Cool.
I want to transition it a little bit, Jeff. I want to know, I mean, I would say that you're in your space a very successful individual. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of share with us what it is that you believe has led to your success, and what you think are, you know, maybe a couple factors that anybody can implement that, you know, allow success to happen in their life or whatever their calling is?
The simplest answer that led to my success, failure.
Yeah. Failure?
Michael Jordan said it best. You had to fail over. Oh, he said, I have failed over and over and over again, and that's why I succeeded.
Okay.
It's not giving up.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, right? So not giving up and failing as often as you possibly can. What are some things that you're doing, let's say, on a daily basis that allow you to succeed?
Not giving up. So if I have a patient and they got health issues going on, I'm addressing it, and they're hitting a plateau, we're not finding answers, it's just digging deeper. Okay. What's the next thing I could look at? Continually learning and just looking at different lab tests, muscle testing, routine supplements around. It's just going to the next thing and just not giving up.
Okay. Who are some people that you draw inspiration, motivation, and, you know, maybe just some general good practices from for life or for what you do? Who are some influences in your life?
Well, Dr. Tent, one for sure, he's my mentor, and working with him on a daily basis has been awesome. I go to Oak Point in Novi. We've got a real cool men's group that we meet on Fridays. They've been very instrumental in my life in the last few years in growth and faith and relationship with Christ. Doing morning devotionals, getting my mind set and that kind of stuff. You know, I always have always looked at people who are ahead of me as role models in anything really in life.
Okay. What is, maybe you're going to ask this
no,
next.
No, keep going.
What does your morning routine look like? I know you've got kids, yep. Right?
Yeah. So it's, it feels like some days that I laugh, it feels like Groundhog's Day. You wake up, rush to get them out of the house, get ready, come home to rush to get everything ready for the next day. I'm like, my gosh, I'm like, Monday through Friday. Friday feels like Groundhog's Day for me.
Yeah.
So I've changed my workout routine.
When are you working out?
Because in the morning. 5 a.m. I set my alarm for 5 a.m.
I'm working out in the morning. I'm feeling like that's what I have to start doing.
Yes.
We just had this conversation with Phil yesterday. Because I got to figure this out,
The
man.
First kid, when I had the first kid, I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm going to just do my afternoon workout still. And my wife's like, I just need your help in the afternoon, you know, getting things ready for the next day. And I can't do that and watch Ethan and whatnot. So I'm like, all right, maybe I'll try to just suck it up, start doing a morning workout. So I'm waking up like 5 a.m. I'm like, give me a half hour to kind of wake up a little bit. Maybe slam a half thing of coffee or something or do something and jump into my workout. And I just do a quick half hour workout. It's a circuit-based training, P90X, Max 30, Insanity type stuff. I do simple plyometric-based things. But, you know, I'm pretty keen on my diet, keto, paleo type stuff during the weekday and that kind of thing. But my work, I wake up 5 a.m. I'm working out 5:30 to 6. Shower and then Groundhog's Day begin as far as getting the kids dressed, getting them ready, breakfast out the door type thing. And I leave early to go to work. I just because you know my wife leaves early to go with the kids to the daycare. I'm like, oh, she's leaving. I'm going to leave anyway. So I'll get to work, you know, about 15 minutes to 25 minutes early and park, just kind of get in a zone, do a little Bible app. Morning devotional, get my mindset, walk in the door and just get organized between emails, social media stuff, charts, lab work, that kind of stuff. Look at, get prepared for the day with patients and whatnot.
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to dive into something really quick because I know this is a huge thing with Tatiana and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to start reading up on some of this stuff because obviously she's 15 weeks pregnant right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the vaccine conversation has started between
we're going her, there. It's good.
Her
like
people,
it.
She knows people, you know, and there's a lot of information out there. And I personally, just my background with, you know, general Western medicine, I've torn my ACL, this ACL three times now. Yeah, three times. I don't have an ACL anymore.
Uh-huh.
And I had torn this one. Anyway, I went to a doctor. He gave me a protocol surgery for like a 65-year-old sedentary man when I was 23.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so I naturally now question everybody. I'm like, just because you're a doctor and you've been to school for 13 years or 12 years, it doesn't that doesn't satisfy me. Because if I went to school, I'm still a person.
Exactly.
We still can have biases. We can still have different things. But it's a lot of information the more we're getting closer to having a kid.
Yeah.
What's your take on this? I mean, what's good, what's bad, what's true? And from your, you know, personal, professional opinion, I'm just curious.
I was telling Tatiana before the show, I've seen patients have reactions doing the fully vaccinated route, doing the partially vaccinated route. You know, it's not just autism. It's, you know, a lot of different issues. I post on my professional Twitter page, Dr. Jeff Seneschal Twitter page. I've been posting the last 2 months, every single week, of some vaccine injured case that I see. They want to ignore this kind of stuff and act like it doesn't happen. The VAERS reporting is a complete failed system. It's all about educating yourself of what you're putting in your body and doing what you said most important is thinking for yourself and not going for the flow. With the flow, because unfortunately today, if there is some adverse reaction with the vaccine with your child and with the pediatrician, that pediatrician is not liable, nor is the pharmaceutical company. Good luck suing the government with something like that.
Exactly.
So I think what I do want to reiterate, right, is I think that you're saying, you know, vaccine injuries do occur, but on top of that, the vaccine might be the trigger because of all the other environmental aspects that are impacting us, right? Poor diet, not having the good minerals, exposure to all these different toxins. So that might set somebody over the edge. So just in general, you know, what are some good resources, you know, that you could give to people, right? Because I think if I believe what you believe, but I think that giving people resources and educating yourself is very important.
Dr. Susan Humphreys is probably the top-notch lady that will share everything that she has gone through to come to the point of how she feels about the vaccines. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is great as well. It's, you know, it clinical practice is what actually, you know, has really opened up my eyes. And I'll even go back to just 2 years ago and the whole whooping cough stuff. My child's daycare had a whooping cough outbreak, mm-hmm. all, you know, 15 cases of whooping cough. And the daycare knows who's vaccinated and who's not, because if you're not vaccinated, mm-hmm. you have to sign a waiver to do the daycare stuff. Every single child was vaccinated for the whooping cough,
mm-hmm.
yet they had whooping cough at this daycare. So the workers were forced to either take an antibiotic series or do a whooping cough vaccine. And the workers like, I don't do a vaccine for this mm-hmm. crap. It's not working. Every case that we had here is related to that. But, you know, what you're going to see on Fox 2 News and all this other media is, whooping cough's increasing because it's these unvaccinated kids who are bringing back whooping cough, and, you know, this outbreak's because of them. It's not necessarily the case.
Right. I would agree with you. So my children are not vaccinated.
Neither are mine.
And they've maybe been sick, like really sick out for a day or two once in mm-hmm. their life. Whereas these other children, they've always got runny noses. They're mm-hmm. always coughing and sneezing, and they're just chronically sick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but these big things that'll knock children out for a week, right? Yep. Like my kids don't get them.
Yep.
And, you know, they adapt and they're, you know, they're fine.
You know, it's go right back to clinical practice. I treat fully vaccinated kids. I treat partially vaccinated kids. I treat children who are not vaccinated, period. And the healthiest group is the unvaccinated kids that I see. Absolutely. And you talk to moms, they've had like 3 or 4 kids, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I went with the flow with the first child, did the full series, then I got comfortable not doing them as much, and the health differences from 1 to 4 is just a night and day difference.
Wow.
And pediatricians won't understand this because now they're singling out all the children who don't want to vaccinate, so mm-hmm. their whole practice is only going to be the fully vaccinated ones, because your child is dollar signs for reimbursement money through insurance for them. I treat both fully vaccinated and unvaccinated as a complete night and day difference.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
They're scared to put out the literature of fully vaccinated versus unvaccinated and these health issues that they see, but it's such an emotional, hot topic subject.
Yeah, and people get really attached to it. Just like they're, you know, we've talked about this before. Just like people's spirituality, just like people's political views.
Exactly.
Once you attach to something and can't have an open mind without bias, I believe that's any realm of life can be tricky, right?
Yeah.
You were talking to me about something before we started, and you were saying that it was like right when things started to either decline or incline, and they tried to attach it to vaccines, but you said that was happening before because of other elements. What were you exactly? Do you know what I'm talking about? I can't remember. It was like nutrition, you said.
Oh, yes. So, you know, they want to take, the big pharma and whatnot wants to take credit for all these diseases going down and out.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
It was more sanitation, antibiotics, and nutrition. And most of these diseases were already down and out.
Right.
And that reminds me of the example. I can't remember exactly when it was. This is like back in the probably 1800s or something. When they were like, hey, everybody's dying when you go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Then they figured out, the doctors just need to wash their hands.
Yes.
And once they started washing their hands, everybody started getting healed. It was something sanitation-based.
Yep. You know, and unfortunately, you go to the, here's another reason you just want to stay out of the hospital altogether today, too, because the sepsis infection and all these infections just within the hospital realm, super bug antibiotic-resistant stuff is just so prevalent today. You know, is these people going in for procedures, whether it's a C-section or just any type of surgery, they got them on an IV drip of antibiotics just as preventive measures because there's so much crap within the hospital.
What is you're in a very interesting space. You're talking about vaccine injuries. What about like injuries as far as circumcision goes, you see anything like that? Or does that get talked about a lot? I know that's like a weird topic to bring up.
No,
weird
topic. Point.
Yeah.
We just had this conversation.
Yeah.
And I was on the other side of the fence, so I'm interested to hear what you say.
I don't jump on that one too much. It's preference and personal choice. And I've got a buddy who you know, he's my age and he's got three children and he's not circumcised and he had issues not being circumcised to where he wanted his children circumcised and whatnot. It's personal preference, and you know, there's trauma that, you know, is some other people will talk that still is kind of seated within the child because of that, and that's absolutely possible as well. But it's preference. I really don't have a stance on that.
Yeah. Right, and it doesn't really dive into your realm, but I figured I'd ask.
Yeah.
So I want to get into books.
Okay.
Right, we talk about books a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What are, you know, you'd mentioned one book, right? So what are some of the books that you're reading in general that you've really enjoyed in your life that you constantly keep going back to? And, you know, what are some books that you think everybody should at least read to build a good foundation for success?
Well, and like I said, the book that changed my life was The Purpose-Driven Life, and it led me more to the Bible and, you know, diving deeper into that. You know, grad school-wise, 7 years of college, and I was just stuck in medical books and studying all the time that I really didn't get too much into reading. Got more into doing podcast-based things, and, you know, driving to work, you know, 20 minutes, half hour, reading different books on that realm, just trying to see what comes, what else comes to mind.
What podcasts are you liking?
I'll jump around. I don't have anything that I'm just stuck on just yet. Mm-hmm. As of right now, I should say. Trying to think of some of the other books. I jump around.
Audio books are
where it was at for me.
What tools are you using for audiobooks? You're using like an Audible?
Yeah, the iPhone, everything plugs in, you know, to my vehicle and easy plug and play type thing.
Okay. Nice. And then what else should we know about you? Where can people find you? Any other questions that you have?
You know, we're everywhere it seems now. DiverseHealthServices.com is our website. We've got a YouTube channel where you can see all my YouTube lectures. From there, my personal Twitter page, Dr. Jeff Seneschal. I'm more active now with the Instagram page. It's kind of cool. I've been using a lot more of that story, the Instagram story to, you know, show a tour doing the keto diet and my routine through the week and then
awesome.
Paleo stuff. Or this week I did my inspiration passion week and just went through different things that are my driving factors. And it was kind of cool because I showcased in the last year and a half, I had two patients in their mid-50s, females, that I've inspired them through fixing them with their health stuff that they're like, the heck with my career. I'm ditching my career and I want to do health coaching. Or I got a lady, she wants to go but the chiropractor. She's
nice,
going to start
man.
Chiropractic college
That's
in her mid-50s.
Cool.
Because of just fixing her via Skype and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of cool when they come back and they're like, hey, this is, you're the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I just want to thank you and that kind of stuff. And it's just like, man, it's a driving force because there's some weeks there's a few patients that just suck the living life out of you. You got nothing more to give.
Yeah.
And you look back on those cases, it's like, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, right?
Yep.
And,
yep.
And I have a question for you, but like for me personally, you know, I'll put these videos out there and we're constantly pushing stuff out. And, I've really tried to shift, always trying to stay positive or educational or just awareness based. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's all about that one person. I'll have a guy text me. I'll have a guy message me and say, hey, bro, I was at the Lions game. I got season tickets.
Uh-huh.
I see a guy from high school and he comes up to me and I haven't seen him in years. We used to wrestle together. He's like, hey, dude, I just want to let you know, I love your life cast.
Yeah.
I've been listening
to
you, and it's motivating me, and thank you.
Yeah.
And it's that one person, right? That's what it's all about, if you can touch one person.
Yep.
So for you, and I don't know if you were going to get to this, you know, life cast, live intentionally for excellence.
Uh-huh.
What's that mean to you? How do you live intentionally for excellence?
Serve. I'm a server. I'm here to, you know, my everlasting purpose is to serve others and help them in and out of work. And I love what you guys are doing here because everything's so positive with things, and some of the other podcasts I've listened to through you guys, everything's so negative just scrolling through Facebook stuff today. People are still stuck on this election crap. I'm like, are you guys kidding me? You're still talking about election stuff and this? It's like, my gosh, get over it for crying out loud, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I appreciate that.
I appreciate having you, you know, you come out and meeting us and taking the time out of your day and from your family on a Saturday. And
absolutely.
You know, thanks for coming out. And
man, thanks
you know,
for having me.
Yeah, we look forward to, you know, potentially even having you on again. I
could
talk to you.
I was
going
to say, this might have to be like a monthly deal.
Yeah,
this is good, dude. I appreciate everything you're sharing. And for me, I'm a big conceptual person, you know, but hearing somebody who can get into the details and get into the nitty gritty, and that's kind of like what Tatiana is for me too. And I was even thinking you two should just sit down and start really diving into the rabbit hole. Hey, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
It was awesome to meet you, buddy. And
thank you, Jeff. Yeah. Appreciate it. And we'll make sure that all your social links are out there as well as to your recent talk.
Yeah.
And, you know, live intentionally for excellence, people.
Amen.
All right, we're out.
Hey, thanks for listening for another great episode. Hey, Phil, I was just thinking about something. Where can people find us at?
Well, they can find us on the internet and on all social media platforms.
Really?
Yep.
So talk to me about, what about Twitter? What would that handle be?
That would be at Lifecast Radio.
Okay. What about Instagram?
At Lifecast Radio.
Facebook?
At Lifecast Radio.
What about YouTube?
At Lifecast Radio. Al, it's the same for every single social media platform.
Ah, okay. I appreciate that, Phil. I needed that clarity.
For sure. Hey, us old folks, right?
That's right. That's right, us old folks. Hey, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Have an amazing day, and remember to live intentionally for excellence.
Lifecast, baby.